Parsha Zachar. We'll read two Rashi's from Parsha Zachar. A very strange series of words describing the attack of Amalek. Vayizanev b'cha kol hanechashalim macharecha v'ata yef v'yagea. So one very intriguing word is the word nechashalim. What does nechashalim mean? Nechashalim macharecha. Those are the people they attacked. And they attacked through the verb of vayizanev. Zanav means a tail. So it's a strange verb describing the military attack. It's a strange modifier describing the victims of the attack. Vayizanev b'cha kol hanechashalim macharecha. And then the next phrase is v'ata yef v'yagea. And you were tired and fatigued. So who was attacked? Who was tired? And why is the verb vayizanev employed? So Rashi doesn't describe the verb. He just describes the victims of the attack, the nechashalim. And Rashi has a very interesting interpretation in Parshas Ki Tetzé for the nechashalim. Actually, Rashi does describe vayizanev. I have to take that back. We'll get to Rashi in a moment. Kol nechashalim acharecha. Rashi writes, chaserei koach. People who are weak. They attack the weak people. So essentially, Rashi transforms the verb nechashal into which verb? Not nechashal, but nechalash. So this becomes one of the words that if you play around with the vowels in the middle, or the consonants in the middle, the letters, then essentially you can have two different meanings. Nechalash would be weak people. Nechashal, what does that mean? So then Rashi continues, they weren't just weak, they were weak because of a sin. Chaserei koach machmas chetam. These were the sinners amongst them. Rashi doesn't specify their sin, maybe we'll see later. But then Rashi says, Shehaya anan poltan. Because of their sins, they weren't just weak because of the journey, because they didn't have water, they tarried or delayed. They were sinners, and because of their moral inferiority, they were expelled or expunged from the Anan HaKavod. The Anan HaKavod, because there's an implicit question. If the Anan HaKavod provided such coverage and such invulnerability, how did Amalek attack the Jews? Parshas Bishalach describes the Anan HaKavod surrounded them in the day and the fire at night. And how did Amalek break through that security system? So according to Rashi, according to Psukim, these were people who had been excluded from the Anan because they had sinned. Rashi doesn't describe what that sin is. We'll see a bit later. So what's interesting is that what makes Amalek so nefarious, so wicked, is that they're preying upon the weak. And they're not just preying upon the weak, they're preying upon the religiously weak, those that are religiously excluded. So if our defense is so furious and our hatred of Amalek so intense, it could be that this is a moral statement about how we feel Jews, how we view Jews who have fallen off the grid. This is a very important Hasidic statement, that we don't just allow people to fall and to be excluded, but we try to include them. And when people, certainly when other people try to prey on them and attack their vulnerability, that's what makes us so resilient and so angry with Amalek, and it singles Amalek out for such targeted response, is because we may have people that are sinners. Again, we don't know their sin yet. In Medrash, there are several options. According to one position, it was the entire Shevet of Dan. The entire Shevet of Dan, at that point, had already begun to worship Avodah Zarah. Remember, this is people that are discovering monotheism. It's not easy for them to understand it. So the fact that there are still people who are residually involved in Avodah Zarah, perhaps Erev Rav that Moshe allowed to accompany the Jewish people. So it's an interesting question in how you build a community and how you build a people. You would have thought, okay, give people a chance. Give Dan a chance, give Erev Rav a chance, but if they fail, perhaps they can't be included within the Anan, and maybe this is the natural selection. This is Darwinian, and Amalek's role is to help winnow or thin our ranks from people who don't belong. And the response of Zecher Amalek and Timcha Zecher Amalek is, no, we have to include as many people as we can, and even though they can't be included within the Anan, because the Anan has a Kedusha that won't admit their religious dysfunction or their religious betrayal, when others attack them, then we respond, we defend, and we don't allow such a criminal act to go unresponded or unnoticed, unresponded to. That's how Rashi also explains the previous word, Vayizanev Becha. Vayizanev Becha means that they attacked your tail. Vayizanev Becha means they were attacking people who were tailing. A zanav is a tail. Rashi actually adds a bit. Vayizanev Becha doesn't just mean they attacked the people who were tailing the camp, but they were attacking the people in their tail. Now, according to Rashi, tail means a part of the body that would be near the tail. Now, human beings don't have a tail, but it would be a part of your body that would be near your tail if you were an animal. It would be your makam hamila. So according to Rashi, he quotes the Medrash, they didn't just attack these people, but they cut off their bris milah. And they threw their foreskins, not the foreskins, but the place that had been under the foreskins, presumably all these people had milah. Though it's not clear, because in Mitzrayim, it's not clear how much the Jews were able to perform bris milah. It's very, very unclear, in fact, when they did or when they didn't perform bris milah. In Yehoshua, when Yehoshua performs a mass bris milah in Eretz Yisrael, he says, Hayom galosi cherpas Mitzrayim. Today I've removed the embarrassment of being in Egypt. Because in Egypt, many Jews had ignored, or actually, according to some positions, had reversed bris milah, and they had been Moshe Charlasam to hide the Jewish identity. And then, of course, in the desert, the entire desert generation wasn't circumcised because of the dangers of the journey. It seems as if at Har Sinai, at least, they were circumcised, but Har Sinai occurs after Beshalach, after the war with Amalek. And Har Sinai, Chazal tell us, the Jewish people underwent conversion. And the Gemara increases, derives conversion as a three-part process. You need to go to a mikvah, you need to have bris milah, you need to bring a karban. And the Gemara increases, identifies these three stages at Har Sinai. They had some sort of tefillah, based on the pasuk and mishpatim, they underwent a milah, and they brought a karban, again, based on the pasuk and mishpatim. But it may very well be that a lot of Jews, even after the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, weren't circumcised at this point during the war with Amalek. So they weren't just attacking people who had theological failures or weaknesses or concerns. They were attacking people who hadn't yet undergone a bris milah, or maybe, it's not clear from Rashi, maybe were people who underwent bris milah, which is interesting because this adds a theological and historical component to Amalek. We tend to view Amalek as just some random band of pirates traveling through the desert, picking people off who are vulnerable, who are weak. But this is a theological issue. They're cutting off the Makam Amila, because whose grandson is Amalek? Who's Amalek's grandfather? Esav. So Esav's returning at a point that's very, very pivotal, because Yaakov's about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Remember, the original plan is for the entry of Eretz Yisrael to be 5-6 months later, after they leave Mitzrayim. So if Yaakov's children enter Eretz Yisrael, that transference of the Bechorah will be complete. That'll be the conclusion. So Esav has to step in at a very, or Esav's grandson has to step in a very pivotal moment in order to block the passage of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael and once again lay challenge to the sale of the Bechorah. So for Esav, or Esav's grandson, this is a very important moment, and his purpose is not just to kill a few innocent people and grab their money and make off like bandits, but they really want to block the ascension of Yaakov and the securing of the Bechorah. So for them to challenge the bris of Yaakov and to challenge bris milah and to say they're not the chosen people, we're the chosen people, and to maybe find people who hadn't performed bris milah, and maybe find people who were sinners, going back to that original Rashi, and challenge the bris because Am Yisrael has betrayed the bris, or at least some people have, is a very, very important attack of Amalek. So they're not just preying on the weak because they're weak and because they're outside of the Anan. There's a theological statement that's reflected both in whom they choose and in what part of the body they choose. And they throw their bris milahs. Rashi's language is makas zanav. They hit them near the tail. Chotech milos, they would cut their makam amila, again, whether it was the arla or the actual place under the arla. And zare klape mala, and they would throw it up to Shemayim as a challenge to Hashem and saying, here are people who haven't performed bris milah. Keep in mind, this is Haman's challenge. I spoke about this earlier this week. What was Haman's challenge? Wasn't he a student of history? Didn't he realize the Jewish people were a Kodesh Baruch who was chosen and they couldn't be defeated? Haman assumed that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we were no longer Hashem's chosen people. We had betrayed that covenant because we had been expelled from Eretz Yisrael. The HaMikdash had been destroyed. He was the first Christian, not theologically, but historically, the first person to say we were God's children, but we're no longer God's children. Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar Mefarad Bein Amim, we're just a regular nation, as opposed to Ein Am Levadad Yishkon. We're no longer separate. So we're just another nation, and any nation can sometimes be vanquished. So when Amalek appears in Jewish history, it's not just happenstance and random. Amalek's appearing at very critical moments. We're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. We're about to achieve monarchy in Eretz Yisrael, where we lost the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a very important moment for Amalek to try to question our bris and to prey on the weaker people, who are both chalashim, they're weak, and they're nechlash. They've been exposed or expelled. Nechlash, according to most Rishonim, means they've been expelled. They've been removed from the Anan. So because of their chalash, because they're weak, they've been nechshal. They've been removed from the Anan, and they try to challenge, and that's why our response is so. Now, the end of the Pasuk may provide the reason that they were expelled from the Anan, not just because they were sinners. Rashi doesn't specify the chait. But the next couple of psukim, v'ata ayef v'yageah, you're tired. So Rashi says, ayef batzama, you are very thirsty. And he quotes the Pasuk, v'yitzma shamham l'mayim in Parshas B'Shalach. Right beforehand, they were thirsty. V'yageah baderach, and they were tired on the route. This may be referring to people for whom the journey had made them fatigued because of thirst and because of fatigue and tiredness. But it may be referring to people who get frustrated because of lack of water and get frustrated because of the journey. It may just be the people who were complaining already in Parshas B'Shalach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and questioning the exodus in Mitzrayim and questioning the purpose of Hashem's Yeshua. In fact, according to some people in the Medrash, Rashi doesn't quote them, the word nechashal, which of course means chalash and nechashal, could also come from the word lachash. If you play around with the letters, these are people who started to whisper about Hashem. We started to become insubordinate. We started to become conspiratorial and question Hashem and spread slander about Hashem. These are people who are already starting to question HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's capability, and Amalek comes and tries to exploit. So there's a very important statement in these couple of Rashis. I would say about two things that they're related. Number one, forget the historical aspect of Amalek. Amalek is just picking on and preying on people that are vulnerable, people that have sinned, people that have begun to question Hashem's role and Hashem's capacity. They're no longer part of the Anan. It'd be very easy for Am Yisrael to excuse this as collateral damage, price of going to war, price of journeying, occupational business expenses, expenses and yet the response is that you protect every single member of Am Yisrael and you don't discard people, and even if they're temporarily outside of the purview, you don't ignore their needs. It's a very important statement about how you build a society, how you build a society that includes sinners especially. But there's a historical element to that, historical overlay. It's not just as if some nation is coming and questioning the type of society we're building. It's Esav's grandchild who's coming and questioning, maybe they shouldn't be the chosen people because they're beginning to question. They're beginning to worship Avodah Zarah. They're questioning why they don't have water. Is this faith? Is this belief? Is this what a people is? And the response to Amalek is that faith is something that happens gradually, and not everyone believes fully, and people sometimes have weaknesses in faith, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that and doesn't in any way entail a compromise or a forfeiture of the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Amalek is treated so harshly. And Rashi gets this from the words nechashalim, which he interprets to be chalash, and nechshal to be expelled. Rashi gets this from the word vayizanev, the verb of attack is that they attacked your tail, which means they attacked the rear guard, the people who were straying from the machana, but also they attacked the makam ha-mila. This is a symbolic attack. They cut off the mila, presumably of people that didn't have mila, and they questioned whether Am Yisrael really deserved the covenant. And finally, v'ata ayef v'yagea, Rashi doesn't just allow it to mean general tiredness, but you are thirsty and presumably complaining about the thirst, and you are tired from the journey and complaining about the journey and questioning Hashem's providence and Ashkacha, and that's when Amalek came. And in general, there's another third statement, which we don't have time to describe, that Amalek appears when Jewish people find themselves in moral decline or theological decline. Amalek is almost as if we're responsible for Amalek, because they can't attack the Jewish people unless we create some opening or vulnerability. And that emerges from the Pasuk in B'Shalach, Vayisu Merafidim, and Amalek Vayavah Amalek Vayilachem and Mishael Bir Fidim, and Chazal interpret Refidim, not just as a location, but Am Yisrael became weak in their commitment to Talmud Torah. That emerges in the juxtaposition of Parsha Zachar in Parsha's Ki Tetzeh to the laws of honest business dealings. Your scale should be proper, and your weight shouldn't be adjusted or shouldn't be in any way modified. And the presumption is that if you produce a society of moral or immorality and moral inequality, then you're inviting Amalek. So Amalek is and that's the same message of Megillas Esther, where the students of Shimon Bar Yochai couldn't believe that Haman could be so successful. So they asked the Rebbe, why was Haman successful? Why was the threat, why did it gain traction? So one opinion was because they participated in Achashverosh Suda, with whatever that meant. That's what the Talmidim said. Shimon Bar Yochai told the Talmidim because they bowed down to the Tzelem, whether that's the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar or the Tzelem of Haman. But there's a repeating theme that Amalek can only begin to get traction and assault the Jewish people if the Jewish people invite them in. And the invitation is in different times of history, different aspects of moral and theological weakness. But we don't tolerate that. We don't countenance that. When Amalek starts to prey or exploit people who are weak, who aren't in the unknown, whether they're weak because of physical weakness or weak because of spiritual inferiority, we don't just ignore that and we don't just say that's a very important statement about inclusion and worrying about people whose firmkeit may not be up to par, may not be up to the standards you expect of yourself, but are still part of Am Yisrael. Okay? Shabbat Zachar Shalom, everyone. John, why don't you just stay?